You may begin.
Good morning, everyone. I hereby call this meeting of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees to order. Our first item is approval of the proposed agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The agenda is approved. Our next item is approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the February 12th, 2021 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Support. Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? The minutes are approved. We will now move to public participation led by Board Secretary Nakia Barr.
We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Any responses from board members will come during the trustee comment portion of the meeting. We will now hear from Jason Fitz, followed by Jennifer Farley. Please activate the first speaker.
This is Jason Fitz. Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Thank you. My name is Jason Fitz. I work for ESPN. I'll be asking you several questions. I'm happy to provide all of this in writing if you tell me where you'd like it sent. These are very specific questions that deserve to be answered on the record regarding the elimination of swimming and diving. Was the decision to eliminate the program made solely by AD Beekman? What standard operating procedure exactly for how elimination of a program is supposed to be handled? If the Board of Trustees stand in support of the decision, what specific reasons are the trustees giving for supporting elimination? If the decision was solely AD Beekman's, what exact reasoning has the board been presented by AD Beekman to support elimination of a sport? Monetary losses have been a reason publicly stated using a number that doesn't take into account revenue earned in tuition from non-scholarship athletes. Why? Academic excellence has been personified by this program as it's been the strongest academic program of any sport of the school. How are academics specifically factored in when deciding to eliminate an opportunity for student athletes? Mr. Beekman specifically referenced lack of proper facilities as quoted on October 22nd regarding pools that don't meet regulation requirements. That's not correct, as noted in the NCAA regulations. Was he uninformed or uneducated on the matter? Why has he not been forced to answer this specific question to the impacted students? And why is the board not asking for accountability regarding misinformation when it comes to such a substantial factor in a decision with this reach? I was able to easily validate this on Google. Why didn't he or you? With the proposal in front of the board quoted to upgrade the facilities that have been quoted by AD Beekman as reasoning for program elimination, why is the decision not being postponed until after the board votes on the facilities upgrade? Why is no one addressing this as a reason to reconsider elimination? What specific efforts were made to actually save the program? As someone that receives scholarship offers from across the country as a violin performance major, something that certainly doesn't make schools money, but does in fact still have value to universities, I find the argument that only certain sports are worth saving based mostly on the money that they earn to be at best lazy. This isn't about student athletes. This is about every student. If lack of facilities, championships, or opportunity to recruit the best to the best are falsely used as narratives for elimination of opportunity, where does it stop? If any department isn't bringing in Nobel Prize winners or the next Itzhak Perlman, is elimination the answer? It's dangerous precedent. And if elimination can happen without recourse by a rogue athletic director allowed to make baseless decisions without proper reasoning, who's the board protecting? The lack of transparency in this process is a stunning disservice to people that have given the school so much. The message you're sending is that unless you play football or basketball for Michigan State, no matter what department you're in, your opportunities can be ripped away for no reason. Today, swimming and diving. What happens when it's music, theater, science, or math? It's obvious here. The students care more about Sparty than Sparty does about the students. And it's a message every single student on campus should be worried to hear, and every prospective future needs to be, the student needs to be aware of.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Jennifer Farley, followed by David Zeltowski. Please activate the next speaker.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Farley from Orland Park, Illinois. My son, Aiden Farley, is a senior on the men's swim and dive team. I am speaking to you today as a mother of three, a Big Ten grad, and someone who supports and cares about Michigan State University. Michael Phelps, 2008, Summer Olympics in Beijing. That August, Michael Phelps brought home 8 gold medals. 3 weeks later, there were over 100 kids ages 6 through 12 at our club team tryouts. My son, Aiden, was one of those 100. He was 9 years old. At the time, he had no idea that over 136,000 kids swim in high school, and of that, only 2.8% go on to swim at the Division I level. As his love of the sport grew, so did his dream of swimming in the Big Ten. When it came time to make a college decision, he could have gone to numerous schools that offered him a good amount of money, but they weren't the Big Ten, his goal, his dream. It takes a lot of time and dedication to meet one's goal. It also takes sacrifice and compromise. In the end, Aiden spoke with MSU and took a spot on the team as a walk-on with no scholarship. We paid out-of-state tuition along with room and board. Not something we had planned on doing, but we were able to do it, and we were willing to fulfill his dream. The last years have been amazing, both for Aiden and our entire family. As true Boilermakers, my husband and I seem to acquire more green and white than black and gold. We donated to the Spartan Fund, and not to our own alma mater. We cheered for all MSU teams, and we cried when Aiden made it to the A finals at Big Tens. Aiden is a Big Ten Distinguished Scholar. He holds 4 Michigan State records and was chosen by the administration to perform musically at the Spartan Academic Excellence Gala. Again, Aiden was a walk-on. I thank his coaches and the rest of the MSU Athletic Department for giving him a chance, for giving him an opportunity to fulfill his dream. Funny thing, after this year's Big Ten Championship, he was offered a spot on another Big Ten team since he has another year of eligibility. Do you think he said yes? He did not. He may love the Big Ten, but he could never compete as anything else but a Spartan. I realize that a decision has been made, but that can change. Don't be the ones that couldn't find a mere $1.2 million from a budget of over $140 million. Don't be the ones that will forever be known for dismissing the highest GPA teams in the NCAA. Don't be the ones known for causing social media posts that embarrass the entire Spartan community. Don't be the ones that convince young athletes to quit their sport, knowing they would not have an opportunity to compete at their dream school. Be the mother, be the father, be the aunt or the uncle. Be the ones that saved a program and gave hope and opportunity to over 300,000 age group swimmers in the U.S. Be the ones who made a 9-year-old kid's dream come true. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from David Zatowski, followed by David McCaffrey. Please activate the next speaker.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I would like to start by thanking President Stanley and the Board of Trustees for your attention. I am here to urge you to reconsider the decision to discontinue the swimming and diving programs at Michigan State and ask that you reinstate those programs. My name is David Zoltowski. I was a member of the Michigan State swimming and diving team from 2011 until I graduated in 2015. And since then, I received a master's degree from the University of Cambridge. And I'm now in the final year of my PhD at Princeton University. And now this is not my first time speaking at a Michigan State board meeting. 6 years ago, at the April board meeting in 2015, I gave a presentation on my undergraduate research and was recognized for the Board of Trustees Award and for receiving the Churchill Scholarship. The chair, Diane Byram, and trustee Melanie Foster were present at that meeting and may recall those events. Unfortunately, now I return here on a much less celebratory note as the swimming and diving program that brought me and brought many outstanding students to Michigan State has been discontinued. And I want to make that clear that I would not have attended Michigan State if it wasn't for the swimming and diving program, as I wanted to both study and swim competitively in the Big Ten. And this leads me to the one argument I have time to make for reinstating the program, which is that this program provides both value to our students, like myself, but also very notably and importantly, value to the university itself. As we've heard in a couple other speakers already today, that members of this program are excellent students, measured both by GPA and national awards. Since I received the Churchill Scholarship in 2015, We've also had multiple academic All-Americans, and most recently, Amanda Ling won the prestigious Elite 90 Award at the Swimming and Diving Championships in March. We should hope to continue to bring such students to our university. And because of this, members of this program are also excellent representatives for Michigan State. As an example, in October 2014, I spoke at the launch of the Empower Extraordinary Capital campaign. In that way, I was a student athlete representative of a campaign that has gone on to raise more than $1 billion for our university. And so the fact is that excellent student athletes, like those in the swimming and diving program, reflect positively on Michigan State and are valuable to the university. By discontinuing these programs, we are cutting off these excellent students and alumni and cutting off this source of value. And with that, I close by urging you to please reconsider and reinstate this program to restore this value to Michigan State. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from David McCaffrey, followed by Annette Rise. Please activate the next speaker.
You may Good begin. Morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
I am David Lee McCaffrey, Sr., retired, the son of Charles and Esther McCaffrey of East Lansing, Michigan. I'm 83 years old. Charles McCaffrey Jr. was the Michigan State head swim coach 1941 through 1969, and then director of Michigan State men's swimming program for the next 5 years. And in 1975 through 1979, he was the executive secretary of the Michigan State Varsity S Club. Charles McCaffrey died in December of 1980. In 2011, Coach Mac McCaffrey was inducted into the Michigan State Athletic Hall of Fame. And in 2017, he was the recipient of the Achievement Award for the retired coaches by the Michigan State Varsity S Club. Coach Mac, my mother, and us four children lived in East Lansing, Michigan. The four children, Peggy, Chuck, Don, and David, all attended East Lansing Public Schools and then graduated from Michigan State University. My years at Michigan State, I swam for the university men's team and graduated in June of 1959 with honor. In 1967 through 1969, I spent 4 years on active duty in the United States Army at the United States Army 106 General Hospital in Yokohama, Japan, caring for military personnel evacuated out of Vietnam. Then I returned to the United States and practiced for 32 years as a dermatologist and retired in 2002. I now live in Lafayette, Louisiana with my wife, Beth. Since my return home and until this time of day, I have been busy with my activities related to Michigan State swimming and diving programs on and off the campus. Number one, the Michigan State Achievement Program, with my annual giving to women's and men's swimming and diving program for years. Number two, our family gift to benefit Michigan State University Library, University Archives, and Historical Collection in the name of Charles McCaffrey Jr. paper. In summary, of people of Michigan and for the people of Michigan, by the people of Michigan, I think it's imperative the swimming and diving program at Michigan State for men's and women's swimming be continued at all levels and especially varsity collegiate sports, plus the building of a new recreational facility with a new 50-meter indoor pool and 8 lanes. The swimming and diving program is one of the most successful varsity programs in Michigan State University history for the last 80 years. To cut the program would be a big mistake. Please move forward now to continue an active varsity men's and women's swimming and diving program at Michigan State University. The state of Michigan, known as the Water Wonderland, needs these programs at Michigan State University, period. Thank you for your valuable time. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Annette Rise, followed by Selman Akbalit. Please activate the next speaker. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You may begin.
Hello, my name is Annette Reese. I am a parent of a current freshman. who's had a difficult time assimilating to MSU due to the lack of transparency that the college has decided on. I have an honors college student who is struggling. I'm looking to see if the school is going to have like mental health and just clear transparency to what's happening in the fall, so that I can help my student move forward, as he is struggling along with many other students in the current 2024 class. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Selman Akbulut, followed by Danielle James. Please activate the next speaker. Hello? Please unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. You may begin.
This is Professor Selman Akbulut, the professor that you fired from the university. I have two questions. I want to directly to President Samuel Stanley and the chair, Diane Byron. My first question is, you fired me with the claims that I attack your administration with emails. And the reporters asked for these emails from using Freedom of Information Act. We received all these emails. There is none such things. And then you now need to prove that such a thing exists. There is no such things. Every email is a good example what a faculty should do when faced with the corruption. So not approving this would be dishonest on your part. My question number two, I came to your administration, President Stanley, with the claims that I was harassed, discriminated, bullied, slandered, and lied to, and my academic records altered, doctored, which I presented to you with the proofs from the scoring department, the scoring office. And then you sent me a certain committee, I think it's a university court. I went to this university court. University court called my chairman that I was complaining about, the promise law. And then he promise law admitted, yes, he lied. And then he changed records. He rewarded people who made discrimination with salary rises. In fact, he cried in the court when he faced with his the questioning. He openly admitted that he lied several times. I hope you are looking at this university records, what happens in your court. It's your responsibility knowing this. Along the way, you send me two other offices. One is faculty grievance office, Bill Donahue, who never took any action. It turns out he himself is a sex abuser. Then you send me Provost Yuat's office. She listened and she openly said she's not going to do anything. And instead, he recommended me firing. And then your other provost, Sullivan, get onto television cameras, publicly said that I'm abusing people, attacking people with my emails. You cannot do that. You need to have a proof. Otherwise, it will be slander on your part. You are a president. You are a head of board of trustees. You need to have proofs. You cannot just fire people like this by just without any proofs. Show us, and I will keep coming back and asking you for the proofs. What's going on in our university?
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Danielle James, followed by Alexis Hampton. Please activate the next speaker.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You may begin.
Hello, my name is Danielle James, and I am the president of Women's Council, as well as a student here at MSU. I would like to start off by saying I am beyond disappointed with this committee, and more specifically with Diane Byram and Brian T. Quinn's address of Attorney General Nessel and the investigation as a whole. The responses were tone deaf, lacked tact, compassion, and were downright disrespectful to the survivors, as well as the MSU community as a whole. In the Board of Trustees Byram's response, she claims that there is more work to be done on behalf of the Board of Trustees. We are committed to continuing to address the changes needed for a safer and more respectful campus. I stand before you today to ask, where is that commitment now? Over and over again, we see that when it is time for the Board of Trustees to step up and take action, they hide behind policy statements and fake promises for change. I am tired. Survivors are tired. The MSU community is tired. But we are wide awake to your deceptive maneuvers. It is the lack of transparency and compliance that allowed Nazar to continue his predatory actions for so long. And it is the duty of the Board of Trustees, whether they were active MSU board members at the time or not, to do everything in their power to try to amend those wrongs. There is a reason why you haven't waived attorney-client privilege to release those 6,000 documents. It is because you made a choice to put your preservation above everything else, a choice to turn your back on survivors who you claim to want to help the most, and a choice not only to disappoint your MSU community, but to show to us that yet again, the Board of Trustees is not to be trusted with having our backs when it's time to take action. But it is not your choice to decide if those 6,000 documents contain relevant information, information that can bring those survivors peace and justice. I, as well as many others of the MSU community, sincerely hope that you reconsider your choice and do what you know is right. I would also like to address the report filed by Women's Council to the Office of Risk, Audit, and Compliance in regards to former Board of Trustees member Brian Masalam and his violation of the conflict of interest policy between the years of 2017 and 2018 when his campaign received contributions from the Clark Hill Law Firm and attorney Maria Dwyer, who represented former Dean William Strample. And the bottom line is that no MSU trustee should ever be allowed to accept thousands of dollars in PAC contributions from a law firm when that law firm is being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars by MSU because that law firm is defending someone like Strample, who personally chose to neglect his supervisory duties of Nazar. Though Masalam returned a portion of the money given to him, money that he should never have accepted in the first place, it is clear to us why Brian Masalam never called for Strample's removal during his campaign. Women's Council sees this as a clear violation of the conflict of interest policy, and we hope that you take this matter as seriously as we are, and that you do your job and hold him accountable for his actions. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Alexis Hampton, followed by Sydney Connors. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello?
Yeah, you may begin.
Okay. As the Vice President of Women's Council, I am fed up with the responses from the Board of Trustees regarding any matter on sexual assault or advocate for survivors. Time and time again, you all claim to be dedicated to working towards a campus that is respectful, inclusive, and free of sexual violence, but time and time again, you all fail to take ethical action. How can you possibly claim to care about preventing abuse and violence on this campus when you aren't even willing to turn over important evidence to the Attorney General? Evidence that would have helped her investigation immensely while also aiding her and many others in the quest for justice for survivors. May I remind you again that it was on this campus where one of the most terrible, awful, and pervasive sexual assault crimes occurred. May I remind you that hundreds of women and girls, some as young as 8 years old, were abused by a man that Michigan State University employed. Even if these crimes did not occur under your term as Board of Trustees members, the choice on how to atone for them was something that you all decided on, and yours was to hide behind the pretense of attorney-client privilege and protect yourselves instead. Have you any conscience about this at all? How could you possibly decide that what is contained in those 6,000 documents isn't relevant to the case? The fact of the matter is that you can't, and that you use lies and loopholes to save yourselves instead. Take accountability for these wrongdoings now and vote public on your decision not to cooperate with the Attorney General and allow for a transparent outside investigation so survivors, families, and community members impacted by this horrible incident can receive closure and know the truth about who was responsible for allowing this to happen. Furthermore, Women's Council has filed a report against former Board of Trustees member Brian Masalam to the Office of Risk, Audit, and Compliance for receiving $3,000 from Clark Hill Law Firm, a total of $4,000 from attorney Mariah Dwyer, who MSU was paying to represent William Strample at that time, and a total of $1,600 from Mariah Dwyer's Per the Michigan campaign finance data, Masalem only returned $2,000 of that money. There is clearly an imbalance of the money he received and the money that he returned, and to accept money at all from these sources in the first place is a violation of the Board of Trustees' conflict of interest policy per B. We are also advocating for the Board of Trustees to publicly acknowledge the wrongdoings by Masalem and administer the available disciplinary action. Furthermore, as the connection or the consequences for policy violations for Board of Trustee members are exceedingly vague, I would like clarity on what consequences are available for a violation of this nature and if/when you will be enforcing them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Sydney Connors, followed by Mary McGinnis. Please activate the next speaker.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Hello, my name is Sydney Connors, and I'm a second-year student studying international relations in James Madison College. I, like many other students at the university, am deeply disturbed by the Board of Trustees' participation in the deceit and neglect of our right to safety on this campus. Of course, I'm talking about the decision not to release thousands of documents of evidence in relation to Attorney General Dana Nessel's investigation into the criminal case against Larry Nassar, an investigation which was requested by this same Board of Trustees on January 19th, 2018. To be frank, it is already woefully obvious that the university has and continues to allow and enable sexual abuse and rape culture to thrive on this campus. If the numerous flyovers of our campus in the Netflix documentary Athlete A didn't make it obvious enough, a voluntary campus-wide survey by RTI per the university's request reported that 13% of female undergraduate students at MSU say they were sexually assaulted in the 2018 to 2019 academic year. The RVSM workshops we are required to attend are useless and triggering. I could go on and on with the examples of the failings of this institution, but I only have 3 minutes. The Board of Trustees will not save face by hiding behind attorney-client privilege. It brings a new meaning to our alma mater, MSU Shadows, that doesn't sit well with me and shouldn't sit well with you. I can only imagine this continued refusal to provide an explanation is because of the economics of the issue. Let me remind the Board of Trustees that Michigan State University is not some inanimate concept you rule over, but a community of thousands of valuable individuals. Our safety and well-being is irrefutably more important than your austerity measures, and the fact that I feel I have to actually say that is patently ridiculous. I would like to speak down directly to the trustees. You have failed as public servants, all of you. Many of you relied on the support and campaign help of the students you now betray to be in the position you are now to hear me to tell you to do the damn job we hired you to do, and that's pathetic. Trustee Naik, you said on December 13th, 2019 that you would, quote, comb through these documents. If you even did that, it appears it's all you plan to do. Trustee Tebay, your campaign website is still active as of April 12th, 2021. The first thing you see when you open your website are several paragraphs of eloquently worded lies. You say regarding MSU's cultural problems, this lack of leadership and lack of support for students must come to an end. It has not. You say you were an IR major in JMC who experienced these issues firsthand. Well, I am an IR major in JMC experiencing these issues firsthand, and I can't imagine learning what I've learned from my classes and experiences and making the same decisions you have. You all talk about the heinous crimes of Larry Nassar, how your heart breaks for the survivors. All of you have given varying statements saying that, and if I had the time, I would dissect each of your individual hypocrisies. Well, if you don't release these documents, as far as my peers and I are concerned, you have allied yourself with him. With that, I would like to join many others in demanding that you release those documents to the Attorney General and that all of you publicly and individually restate your position on this matter.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Mary McGinnis, followed by Alyssa Gorsling. Please activate the next speaker.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Good morning, trustees. My name is Mary McGinnis. I am a third-year student at Michigan State, and I'm speaking to you today to voice my disappointment and disapproval with your decision to maintain attorney-client privilege and withhold documents from the Attorney General Nassar investigation. I am a lifelong Spartan with both of my parents and older sister also attending this university, and I have always been proud to wear green and white. The Board of Trustees' decisions throughout the Nassar case have always disappointed me in the past, but I can honestly say with this recent decision that effectively ended the investigation into one of the biggest university sexual assault scandals and cover-ups in U.S. history, I am truly ashamed to be a Spartan. I am also here to call each of the trustees to take accountability and take a public individual stance on the release of the documents. Specifically, I would like to ask Trustee Nakey, Trustee Scott, Trustee Tibbe, Trustee Vassar, and Trustee Kelly to make good on their previous statements and promises to vote to release the documents and cooperate in the investigation. In a 2018 letter signed by all of the trustees, including those here with us today, Melanie Foster, Diane Byram, and Dan Kelly, you stated that we stand fully ready to cooperate with your review. But with your recent decision, this has proven to be just one of many lies told by this university to save face and maintain a culture of protecting sexual abusers. It is not a personal opinion, but a matter of fact that the survivors deserve justice and a cohesive investigation. And I think we both know that your compliance is crucial to this. You also owe your cooperation to the MSU students who you've promised change to over the past 5 years. When my sister went here and graduated in 2017, she was active in protests fighting for the same honesty and transparency from you that I am here fighting for now, and that my younger sisters and future daughters will have to fight for in the future. I am begging you to do your part to end the cycle of complicity and silence at MSU now by voting to release the documents. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Alyssa Gorsling is not present. Next, we will hear from Erica Thibodeau, followed by Tammy Bork. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello, my name is Erica Thibodeau. I'm here today to share my deep frustration with the gross misconduct partaken by the board members of this board. I'm deeply disappointed in Trustee Scott's decision to obstruct an independent investigation that would reveal the truth and hold the necessary parties responsible for the Nassar abuse. In an astounding show of impropriety, Trustee Scott has chosen to leverage her position on her board to catapult herself forward and enrich herself financially at the expense of survivors of sexual assault. Moreover, she had the audacity to accuse survivors of benefiting financially from an independent investigation to look into how MSU handled the Nassar abuse, while she has been cutting back-end deals to enrich herself with the Muskegon deal. Trustee Scott obstructed an independent investigation to line her own pockets. Despite running on reform, she sold her vote to the highest bidder. Her actions are shameful. Instead of working to help survivors heal from the most traumatic events of their lives, Trustee Scott decided to use this opportunity to portray survivors for a real estate bid. Her actions are reprehensible. Her actions are grotesque, and I honestly don't know how someone who ran her campaign on reform can turn her back on survivors and outright betray them. Her actions are indicative of a non-existent moral compass and a deep sense of self-entitlement at the expense of the Michigan State community. We are sick and tired of coddling impropriety and fraudulent behavior. We demand to know what happened with the Muskegon deal. Although I'm perplexed by her actions, I'm curious to know what happened with the Muskegon deal. Has anyone investigated this? What measures have been taken to mitigate the damage caused by Trustee Scott? Why her actions have gone unchecked by this board? Why did Trustee Scott shut down an independent investigation that seeks out the truth? Surely no one can find the truth out because she's intent on concealing it for her own gain.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Tammy Bork, followed by Sandy Smith. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Maybe begin.
Hello, my name is Tammy Bork. I was asked to speak on behalf of the parents of sister survivors assaulted on the MSU campus. Wow, I had no idea how triggered this call would, how much trigger it would cause. I'll do my best and we'll start with thanking Danielle and Lexi from the Women's Council. I want to thank Sydney Connors, Mary McGinnis, and Eric Thibodeau for speaking so eloquently and clearly. Truth be told, I don't want to belong to this group anymore, where the common thread is Larry Nassar, any more than I want to be speaking to any of you again. But here we are, making history again together, tangled up in the unspeakable, the abuse of minors, child pornography, sexual assault of girls, teens, and women. And yes, Sydney, Mary, Erica, Danielle, and Lexi, you should be afraid. There is not the right culture for any woman on campus. I am here not by choice. One of the girls was my 11-year-old, and now here I am speaking on behalf of well over 300 girls and parents and siblings. When I stand here before you, I'm on the side of survivors. You are here because it happened on the campus you chose to govern. you as well have picked a side. PISRU will mark a notated name, and when and the who of the MSU board denied the release of documents, flagrantly disregarding a concerted effort for the truth and justice. We are in disbelief that you shut down two independent investigations, ignored public outcry, and declined Michigan's Attorney General's plea. I am calling on each board member to publicly announce their vote. Silence will signify that you voted to withhold. Silence will tell history what side you're on. On behalf of the sisters and parents of sisters who were assaulted on the MSU campus, we are calling for a public announcement of your vote. The impact of your decision is crushing, but history is in the making, and I know what side I stand on. I know with 100% certainty that this is not over. The truth is a relentless teacher. It will not be denied. Like the sun and the moon, truth cannot be long hidden. Board members, a settlement does not buy justice. We are not going away. A settlement does not buy health. I thought I was ready 4 years later to talk, and I can barely speak. Again, I am asking for a public account of your vote.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Sandy Smith, followed by Henry McCoy. Please activate the next speaker. Please unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
My name is Sandy Smith, and my husband and I live in DeWitt, Michigan. In October 2007, our six-year-old son Andrew and I were diagnosed with cancer. Within a month, someone arranged for us to sit in the press box for an MSU football game. Over the next couple of years, we attended games and practices and enjoyed meaningful interactions, including hospital visits with a variety of athletes from a number of different MSU sports teams. In February 2009, I wrote these words. Andrew was delighted to cheer on the Spartans at the hockey game Friday night. When I had the opportunity to look at pictures later, I was overwhelmed by the sheer joy on his face and the way he interacted with the guys, his guys, as he calls them. The MSU hockey team has had a rough season, one that would not be called successful in the sports world. What truly is success? This team has successfully made a difference in the life of a child who is fighting for his life. Andrew died in December of that year, and there was a moment of silence before one of the hockey games to honor his life. And one of those hockey players has a son with his name. Fast forward to 2018. I was coordinating the pediatric volunteers at Sparrow Hospital when the opportunity arose to have MSU student athletes visit the unit on a regular basis. We trained the first group that spring. By the summer, freshman diver Erin Neely was spending a couple hours 3 days a week at the hospital. Under her leadership, the Spartan Buddy program, made up of a diverse group of student athletes, has grown and had an amazing impact on our patients and their families. From the start of the program in the spring of 2018 until the pandemic began, 14 members of MSU's swimming and diving program clocked over 280 volunteer hours with our pediatric patients. As soon as volunteers were allowed back into the hospital, one of the MSU swimmers and one of the divers returned to volunteer with the patient discharge lounge. This semester, those two young women, along with a couple other student athletes, have been offering weekly virtual play sessions to pediatric patients. And Erin Neely, now a senior, volunteers twice a week with one of our pediatric oncology nurse practitioners. My mind can't help but go back to the question of success, given the recent news that the swimming and diving program has been cut. What is success? These athletes have represented the university well and have successfully made an impact in the lives of hospitalized children and adolescents in the community. I am honored to have had the opportunity to work with them over the past few years. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Henry McCoy, followed by Alexander Ehring. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Hi, I'm Henry McCoy. I'm here on behalf of the MSU Divestment Campaign, and we are protesting the recent rejection of ASMSU's Bill 5744, which passed this previous semester and advocated for student representation on the MSU Investments Advisory Subcommittee. Argument is based on several violations of the trustees' own bylaws and the relevance of their opposition. The first grounds are based on the trustees' opposition argument that the student representative appointed to MSU's Investment Subcommittee would lack the technical expertise and spare time to effectively serve. This argument disregards the vetting process students would have to undergo, a process that would include the student's financial knowledge, desire to be on the subcommittee, and their class schedule to ensure they're an effective representative. This argument also underestimates the intelligence of the MSU undergraduate community, as well as our own financial education department. While we concede the student would not have the same knowledge and technical expertise to match MSU's top advisors, we're confident that their ability to adapt and learn would not hold them back for long. And given the fact that the student did not even have a voting power on the committee as stated in the bill, this timeline for intellectual development is furthermore irrelevant to the proceedings. Our second rejection is based on the board's lack of commitment to their own bylaws. Their rejection of a student representative on the investment subcommittee goes against their committee commitment in the bylaws to, quote, provide the opportunity for each student to realize the highest potential and to give due consideration to the opinions and students on matters related directly to their interest, and to, quote, to create an intellectual climate that will challenge and encourage the vigorous development and courageous expression of the human mind and spirit. The dismissal of this bill goes against these promises and doesn't encourage the betterment of MSU's community. Potential appointees were also already in this process when the board shut down the bill, showing the Board of Trustees' further disregard towards students. Based on this inaccurate argument against the addition, stated in the own trustees' bylaws, the dismissal should be revoked. As members of the MSU Divestment Campaign, we stand for representation and transparency from our university, which we have been sorely lacking. MSU is even implied in the Paradise Papers, which is an investigative journalist report on offshore shell companies, and engenders another reason we need transparency and diverse voices in addition to the Larry Nassar situation. Despite legal purposes for offshore investments, it's a largely unethical and makes us uneasy about the appointment and use of MSU's investments. As students and patrons of this university, we believe we should not have to rely on leaked documents in order to fully comprehend our university's practices and values. While we believe that students and alumni of Michigan State should be aware of our investment dealings, including its implication in the Paradise Papers and its investments in the climate crisis, we hope in doing so, students and donors will be granted a better understanding of their university and how their funds are being utilized. We advocate on these grounds that the Board of Trustees should reevaluate its rejection of ASMSU Bill 5744 and allow the addition of a student representative on the Investment Subcommittee Board. Now you'll
thank you. Next, we will hear from Alexander Ehring, followed by Kevin Bird. Please activate the next speaker.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address the members of the board. I'm Alex Ehring, speaking in my capacity as the elected president of the Graduate Employees Union, American Federation of Teachers, Local 6196. I came into the role of president in a moment of internal crisis. GU had been credibly accused of taking advantage of the labor of our volunteers of color while not doing the work to meaningfully bring those volunteers into decision-making or supporting the leaders that did come up. Word was spread among the grad students that GU burns out its volunteers. And I was frustrated that we weren't living up to our mission or values, frustrated that the structures of our organization led us to discarding some excellent leaders, and frustrated that I didn't have a solution. Luckily, I wasn't the only one thinking about this. Other members of our leadership team suggested that we start to make some radical changes to our organization. There wasn't a clear plan, and that led me and the rest of the team to anxiety. Would it be better to take an uncharted path, or would sticking with the devil we knew better represent our members? But in truth, it was clear that we were unable to represent our members and our community because we weren't trusted by our community. So I decided to use my position to empower the voices calling for change. We started by bringing more members of our community into the leadership team and being open and honest with our general members about what our mistakes had been and what our plans were for change. It hasn't been easy, but our leadership is more accessible now to our general membership, and our volunteers are more empowered. This level of transparency and accountability is not something that I see reflected in the MSU leadership, however. I'm disappointed by the decision to withhold documents relevant to the Nassar case from the AG, but I'm not surprised. MSU has a history and a pattern of covering up problems instead of embracing transparency and accountability. Without bringing stakeholders into decision-making intentionally and regularly, people don't feel empowered to even identify problems, because it's clear the leadership isn't accountable to them. I'm calling on the members of the board to direct the MSU leadership to make accountability and transparency to stakeholders a priority, instead of repeating the mistakes that got us here and continuing to cover up problems. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Kevin Bird, followed by Michael Bailo. Please activate the next speaker.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address the board this morning. My name is Kevin Bird. I am an MSU graduate student and former president of the Graduate Employees Union. I'm speaking today to express my disappointment in leadership at the university. To me, it's clear that many decisions at the highest levels are being made out of fear and self-preservation. Dishonesty, cover-up, lies, and secrecy with regards to Larry Nassar and subsequent investigations have done and will continue to do serious harm to the MSU community. People have already been wronged by past leaders of the university. This is the community that you were elected to represent, protect, and be good stewards of. And fear isn't how you fulfill those obligations and do right by the community. It takes courage to do that. In my relatively brief life, I've experienced moments where fear was an easy out. As an early career scientist with little protection for my future career and movement, I discovered that many people were twisting my field of genetics and evolutionary biology to support racism and bigotry, often receiving little or no pushback from senior colleagues. And despite how hostile these white supremacist communities can be, I have been outspoken and committed to rebuking this misrepresentation of science. Last year, this activism put me in public opposition with a senior MSU administrator who had been lending the name and credibility of the university to white supremacists and anti-Semites. In taking the bold step and the visible role in calling for his removal, I knew I was opening myself up to harassment and violent threats, and they did come. But despite this, I persevered because I cared about my community. I cared that these misrepresentations harmed Black friends, colleagues, and students. And I especially cared that MSU, an institution that I valued greatly, was being misused to legitimate these kinds of people. And through this campaign, I found and learned of so many others who felt the same way for years, but had been kept quiet by fear. Now, on this issue, I can thankfully say that I saw leadership at MSU act courageously and in the interest of its community. But unfortunately, this kind of courageous action has not been the norm, especially surrounding Larry Nassar. This university and community can't heal and move forward without changes in the way the university is run. Leadership has to change so that it can regain trust in the people that it's designed to represent. Higher level decisions need to be transparent. Leadership needs to be held accountable for the decisions and mistakes, and the university community must be integrated into the decision-making process. I'm asking members of the board to prioritize this change so leadership can truly uphold its responsibilities to students, alumni, faculty, and staff of Michigan State University. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Michael Bailo, followed by Amanda Ling. Please activate the next speaker. Please unmute.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Thank you. I'm going to start out on a true positive note, but out of respect to what I've heard in the last 20 minutes and the brave women that have spoke, I'm going to observe a brief moment of silence for everyone to think about that. Okay, here we go. I speak in support of the recent effort to improve the recreational facilities on campus. It is long overdue and very necessary now that MSU is the only school in the Big Ten without a modern rec facility, especially in light of the new two-year residency requirement and increases in distance learning options brought on by the pandemic. MSU has to step up its game to attract and retain the best students. The recent committee study submitted to the trustees in February by Vennie Gore recommends a brand new recreational facility with an Olympic-sized 50-meter pool, the construction of which will be funded by bonds backed by student rec fees, which will also fund its operation. This is a sound approach, as again, MSU is the only Big Ten school without student rec fees. The nominal amount it would take per student is less than the amount the average student spends on Starbucks in the same amount of time. There's more good news. The pool component of the rec center will generate a sizable revenue stream as its central location in the state allows for the MHSAA and also the state's competitive swim clubs to rent it for meets. The Michigan Swimming Board of Directors has already issued a letter of support to you, which indicates that there are nearly 10,000 athletes from more than 80 independent swim clubs, and 90% of them live within a two-hour drive from East Lansing. If you build it, they will come, and they will pay good money to do so. I would be remiss if I did not remind you of the reasons the athletic director gave for ending MSU's historic swimming and diving program, and which now are no longer valid. Refer back to the press conference from October 22 of last year, which you can easily Google. To the exclusion of any other reason, including COVID, the AD made his case about the inadequacy of MSU's facilities and said to the reporters present that if there were plans for a new 50-meter pool, everything would be on the table. Well, what do you say now? This week, you have received a petition from the families of the swim and dive athletes asking to meet with you to help foster a solution, many of whom are taxpayers and voters right here in the state of Michigan. And this morning, you received a very well-researched, thoughtful financial proposal by the Swim and Dive Alumni Group that can help MSU Athletics by creating shared funding models to benefit all Olympic sports in the future if they're followed. Talk to the people who care. Build the center and the pool for the good of all MSU and restore MSU swimming and diving now to its rightful place in the family of Spartan athletics. Thank you.
Next, we will hear from Amanda Ling. Please activate the next speaker. You may begin.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Ling, and I am a senior diver on Michigan State Swim and Dive Team, graduating this semester with a 4.0 GPA. I recently finished my last season diving for Michigan State University at the NCAA Championship Meet. Earlier in the year, I was an A finalist in the 3-meter at the Big Ten Conference meet, placing 7th overall against 5 members of the USA Diving National Team and every single 2021 NCAA champion for women's diving. I bring this up because I want to emphasize two things. The Big Ten Conference is the most competitive diving conference in the country, and I have proven that I can dive with the best of them. When at the NCAA meet, I received the Elite 90 Award, which recognizes the true essence of the student athlete by honoring the individual who has reached the pinnacle of competition while also achieving the highest academic standard. I was the first diver to ever receive this award and the first female student athlete at MSU, which is only the second MSU athlete ever to receive this award. However, I received no acknowledgement from the MSU Athletic Department that I had made NCAAs or won this historic accolade for the university in the face of great opposition. If the NCAA can recognize that I am a part of a program that produces the pinnacle of the student athlete, why can't my own athletic department? Furthermore, if making history isn't enough for the athletic department to acknowledge my sport for even a brief moment, I am left asking myself what the true reasons behind the cutting of the swim and dive program really are. When it was announced that MSU would be discontinuing swimming and diving, we were told that the team fails to produce athletes that succeed in the three areas that MSU strives for: athletically, academically, and community outreach. We failed on the athletic front, not producing student athletes who are competitive in the Big Ten. While I am a senior, I have 2 years left of athletic eligibility, and this year I have been recruited in some way by 7 of the other schools in the Big Ten. If my current program fails to produce student athletes that are competitive in the Big Ten, would I be recruited by the majority of the conference when my own team is discontinued? According to the NCAA, 80% of the U.S. national team at the Rio Olympics, over 1,000 athletes, competed in college before making the Olympic team. Swimming and diving are two of the sports represented in this number, but we are one of the first sports to be eliminated by athletic departments. In 2020 alone, 11 Division I swim and dive teams were told they would be discontinued. The problem was simmering before the pandemic, as evident by the University of Washington, which cut its men's and women's swim and dive teams in 2009 when Mark Emmert, now head of the NCAA, was the university's president. I ask you, Board of Trustees, whether you want Michigan State to be just another number in the sad statistic, a trend that places in jeopardy the future Olympic success of the U.S., or whether you will rise above and work with us on solutions to save our swimming and diving teams, a program that does in fact succeed on all three levels of the student athlete that MSU strives for. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public participation.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank all of those who spoke today and appreciate the difficulty that it may have presented to some. So thank you so much for your courage in coming forward. I'm going to start my remarks today with our graduation season and an update on the COVID-19 outbreak. And then I want to turn to our planning for fall semester and university updates. It's been a busy, challenging year, and it's hard to believe in just 2 weeks we will celebrate the graduation of Michigan State University's undergraduate and graduate degree earners. This year, more than 8,400 Spartans will carry their degrees, knowledge, and drive into the world. And we are so pleased that we'll be able to offer in-person graduation for the class of 2021. We will do it by offering more than 50 smaller in-person ceremonies held outside, rain or shine, for undergraduates, graduate professional students, and a limited number of family members. We will require masks as we do in our campus compact, and our seating will enable social distancing. We were pleased to receive vaccine to distribute to students over the past week, including our international students. By the end of today, we expect to have vaccinated more than 2,800 students at the pavilion, with 3,500 new appointments available next week. I had a chance to speak with several students on Tuesday at the vaccination site, and they were as happy about the opportunity as we were to offer it. I want to thank the Ingham County Health Department, which very quickly supplied us with Pfizer vaccines to substitute for Johnson & Johnson doses. This allowed us to honor all appointments students made, despite pausing the J&J vaccine following public health officials' guidance. We hope to receive more vaccine from our health department partners so we can continue this important work. And while MSU is one source of distribution, we've encouraged students to register with as many vaccine providers as possible. Our student vaccine numbers to date are welcome news. When combined with the fact that more than 80% of our undergraduate and graduate students say they intend to get a COVID-19 vaccine, we are moving closer to a more typical fall semester, and I look forward to seeing more students on campus. Beyond health concerns, the pandemic has also had a severe financial impact on many families and students who have been unable to work. Last Friday, the Office of Financial Aid completed awarding $15 million to help 14,118 students with grants earmarked from the federal government's Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund II program. As I said before, I'm excited about fall semester as we look forward to a more typical campus experience, including student activities and athletics. We're planning nearly all courses to be held in person, but we'll continue online offerings for some large lectures. Students say they like the online flexibility, particularly with asynchronous courses, which also can help accommodate things like internships and work schedules. First-year students will be back with us living on campus with as many others as we can safely accommodate. We're pleased with the demand we've seen. It's clear students value and miss campus living. Dining will be open with available seating as allowed by public health department rules. And it will be great to see the return of more in-person activities. Planned for fall welcome events are in the works, and many campus events could offer both in-person and remote access components. More than 800 student organizations have registered for the year so far, and those activities will continue to enrich the MSU experience. MSU Athletics is planning for fall events with spectators to the degree allowed by state requirements and guidelines in place at the time. And the Wharton Center and Broad Art Museum are also planning performances or events. We expect testing and other precautions to continue at some level, and all of us will need to adhere to these policies and engage in the actions and behaviors that have kept us safe and healthy. And as mentioned before, I encourage students, faculty, and staff to get vaccinated as soon as you can. This is the key to a safe and successful fall. Something new next academic year will be a two-day fall break we're piloting on Monday and Tuesday, October 25th and 26th. Students asked for a fall break, and I'm pleased it's now part of next fall's general academic calendar. I want to note several important university updates. As we move the university forward in this and other strategic ways, I'm looking forward to, contingent on the board's approval today, to working with Lisa Frace as Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. She's a transformative leader in higher education and finance with 15 plus years at tier one research universities. She brings experience improving administrative functions, and she's a champion for professional development with a focus on diverse viewpoints and voices. Lisa will manage our financial progress, develop a long-range financial plan, and help ensure institutional resources are used effectively and align with our strategic efforts. As you know, Pride Month is celebrated at Michigan State University in April, and I had a chance to greet students on Sunday at the annual Lavender Reception hosted by the Resource Center for graduates and members of Michigan State University's LGBTQA+ community. And this afternoon, I'll welcome attendees into conversation with 2020 National Book Award winner Charles Yu as part of a PETA Heritage Month on MSU's campus. I'd like to share a few updates on key partnerships MSU has with some new important collaborations I want to briefly mention. First, we learned recently how much Michigan State University's Grand Rapids Medical Mile facilities, the Secchia Center, the MSU Grand Rapids Research Center, and the Doug Meyer Medical Innovation Building, as well as Perrigo North American headquarters, the latter two, both of which are under construction, will contribute to that region's economy. A new study estimated the annual direct economic activity related to the four buildings at $203 million, and an annual economic impact of $339 million overall, with support for 2,017 jobs and yearly earnings increases of $142 million. The report also noted the catalytic effect MSU's research center has on that region's scientific ecosystem, complementing other organizations and attracting top researchers and funding opportunities. Research spinoffs also are anticipated to generate new businesses by taking advantage of scientific innovation. This is a powerful quantification of MSU's partnership with Grand Rapids medical and business communities, which started with the expansion of our College of Human Medicine in the new Secchia Center in 2010, just 10, 11 years ago. We have some student-focused collaborations I want to mention as well. I recently joined approximately 40 U.S. college and university leaders on the Task Force on Higher Education Opportunity to support innovative approaches to issues in higher education. The task force was formed to address post-COVID-19 challenges facing higher education across the country. MSU's initial contribution to the effort is the My Spartan Story program, which will allow students to document their co-curricular activities to give a fuller representation of their experience at MSU. Many MSU students transfer here from other colleges, and Lansing Community College sends more students to us than any other. We continue to work towards improving the experience for those students through a new agreement with Lansing Community College. As part of our joint Envision Green program, Michigan State University will provide two dedicated academic advisors to Lansing Community College once a week and pursue other days to improve the transfer process. I have several new rankings and recognitions to report. U.S. News and World Report ranked 5 graduate programs first in the nation, with several others appearing in the top 20. For the 27th consecutive year, MSU's College of Education ranked number 1 for elementary and secondary education. The college also ranked number 1 in curriculum and instruction and in rehabilitation counseling, and for the first time added a number 1 ranking for educational administration. The Eli Grove College of Business Supply Chain Management graduate program also maintained its top ranking. And speaking of rankings, MSU College of Communicating Arts and Sciences Game Design and Development Program was ranked first in the nation. First in the nation by the Princeton Review. Another winner in the media space is WKAR, which was named Michigan Public Television Station of the Year by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. It also won several other radio and television awards, including 9 Best in Category awards. This year marks the 9th time in 10 years WKAR has been named Public Television Station of the Year. Meanwhile, our student-run radio and media organization, Impact 89 FM, won the 2021 College Radio Station of the Year Award. This is Impact 89 FM's 17th time winning the award. There are many important recognitions for Spartan students as well. The Goldwater Scholarship is one of the most competitive and prestigious undergraduate scholarships available to students in science, mathematics, or engineering. 2 Spartans are 2021 Goldwater Scholars. Congratulations to Charles Holtquist, an Honors College junior majoring in physics and advanced mathematics in the College of Natural Science. And Andrew McDonald, an Honors College junior majoring in computer science in the College of Engineering, also in statistics and advanced mathematics in the College of Natural Science. For the seventh consecutive year, MSU was named a top producer of both Fulbright scholars and Fulbright students in the U.S. These programs support academic exchanges with over 150 countries. MSU is one of only 17 institutions to receive both recognitions this year. 11 MSU students and 10 scholars received Fulbright awards. As we announced this week, an MSU student has been named a Truman Scholar. Gregory Marchal is an Honors College junior majoring in economics at the College of Social Science. The Truman Scholarship recognizes college juniors with exceptional leadership potential who are committed to effecting change through public service. So my congratulations to all our scholarship award winners. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks. Our next order of business is the gift and grant contract report from Interim Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage.
Thank you, President Stanley. Chairperson Byram, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. Report period is January 2021 through March 19th, 2021. The total value for this period is $132,289,862.
Is there a motion to approve the gift, grant, and contract report?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? The gift and grant contract report is approved. We will now have our research presentation, again introduced by Interim Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage.
Thank you. As we celebrate the success of our graduates and the completion of another academic year, it's also our tradition to highlight exceptional student research during the April Board of Trustees meeting. Our research speaker today is Sneha Banerjee. She is a PhD candidate in electrical and computer engineering in the College of Engineering. Sneha received her Bachelor of Science degree in electronics and communication engineering from West Bengal University of Technology in India. And in 2012, a Master of Science in Radio Physics and Electronics at the University of Calcutta, also in India. Her current research interest includes quantum tunneling in metal insulator metal junctions, electronic emission, and contact engineering. And before your eyes glaze over, let me tell you that Sneha is a great storyteller, and you will understand that by the time she's finished. She is a recipient of Michigan Institute of Plasma Science and Engineering Graduate Fellowship Award in 2020 and 2021, the 2020 MIPSE Graduate Student Symposium Best Presentation Award, and in that same period, Michigan State University's Electrical Engineering Outstanding Graduate Student Award, and the 2021 IEEE Nuclear and Plasma Sciences Society Graduate Student Award. Sneha is also the founder of the IEEE Nuclear and Plasma Sciences Society student chapter at Michigan State University, which was founded in February of 2020, and she's served as its president since its founding. Please welcome Sneha Banerjee.
Thank you, Dr. Gage, for the kind introduction. Can you all hear me and see my screen? Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sneha Banerjee from Electrical Engineering Department. I work with Professor Peng Zhang, and today I'm going to present our work, Modeling of Nanoscale Electrical Contacts. I'd like to mention that this is a huge honor for me to present our work in front of you in this meeting today. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. Nano means small. How small exactly? Well, 1 nanometer is 1 billionth of a meter. 1 nanometer is about as long as your fingernails grow in 1 second. 1 strand of your DNA is 2.5 nanometers wide. And the villain of this century, our invisible enemy, coronavirus, is about 50 to 200 nanometers wide. Electrical contacts in such small scale are the building blocks of next generation electronics, where our gadgets are going to be smaller, lighter, faster, smarter, and cheaper, just like science fiction movies. Our ever-increasing demands for physical scaling down and high efficiency have pushed the electronics industry to its limits. Your smartwatch probably has millions of tiny electrical components and connections inside, which are already as small as your red blood cell or a bacteria. If the electrical circuits are scaled down further and built in the scale of nanometers, some spooky phenomena occur. Our traditional electrical theory says if two metals make perfect contact, the electrons see no barrier and they can happily flow through the circuit. So we have current. When the metals are far apart and the media between them is an insulator, like air, they cannot cross the barrier. So we do not have current. However, nanometer scale is called spooky regime because even if the metals do not touch each other, the barrier is narrow enough for the electrons to cross over. Hence, we have spooky current. This spooky current is called quantum tunneling current and is governed by the theories of quantum physics. Now, this tunneling current is a problem. Imagine you want your current to go in the X direction, but due to this leakage, now it goes in X and Y and Z direction, which can cause noise, heating issues, device malfunction, and failures. On the other hand, this tunneling phenomena can be utilized to develop some novel devices that can overcome the shortcomings of existing silicon-based electronics. The goal of my thesis is to develop mathematical models to understand, control, and improve electrical current in nanoscale contacts. First, we systematically studied the tunneling current for different contact members, input voltage, insulator barrier, and the gap distance. And then we applied that knowledge to manipulate current distribution in a practical electrical contact. One interesting thing we found is that although spooky current or tunneling current imposes some serious challenges to the circuit engineers, strategic design of such contacts can eliminate some of the long persistent contact problems present in the industry, like current crowding. Current distribution in a practical electrical contact is non-uniform. Current crowds near the edges. And this current crowding is especially severe for highly conductive ohmic contacts, which means a perfect contact between two contact members without any gap or insulator. We found that if the two contact members are separated by a thin insulating layer whose dimension is in nanometers, this current crowding effect can be eliminated. And we need to eliminate this current crowding effect because it induces non-uniform heating of the contact area, which can cause localized thermal hotspots and heating issues. And in the worst case scenario, can cause even device failure and small explosion, which are undesirable. In this figure, we plot contact current density along contact length. The black dotted line here is for ohmic contact, where no gap is present between the contact members. And the colored lines here are for tunneling type contacts, where we considered two gap distances, 1 nanometer and 3 nanometer. We see that the current distribution is more uniform when a thin in nanometer scale insulating layer is introduced between the contact members. So we make an important conclusion from this figure and our research, which is that current crowding effect which is a major challenge in nanocircuits and electronics industry today, can be eliminated by introducing a thin nanometer scale insulating layer between the contact members. And we call this method tunneling engineering. And we cannot wait to apply our design approach to the industry, welcoming new technologies and improving upon the existing ones. Excuse me. We have 4 published and 1 unpublished, still under review journal papers on this project. We also have a US patent that was approved last year. I would like to thank my advisor, Professor Peng Zhang, for his mentorship. I would also like to thank my colleagues from the NanoPath Group of Electrical Engineering Department for their support and encouragement. This work is supported by Air Force Office of Scientific Research, Michigan Institute for Plasma Science and Engineering Fellowship, and Michigan State University's Graduate Writing Fellowship. Thank you for your attention and time. I can take any questions if you have any. And once again, I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Banerjee. And what a wonderful presentation. Does anybody have questions for Ms. Banerjee? Dr. Gage was absolutely correct. You explained that in such a wonderful way that I think all of us understood what you were doing and are all very impressed. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this presentation. The work obviously seems extraordinarily important, and you really epitomize, I think, one of the important things that Michigan State is able to do, and that's to bring talented people from around the world here to study. So thank you for your contributions to the field and for choosing Michigan State to do your graduate work. We're very proud that you did, and thank you again for taking the time to do this today.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So we're now
going to
move
on.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else have comments? No? Okay. So we're now going to move on to personnel actions and information reports. Provost Woodruff.
Thank you, President Stanley. Trustees, I present for approval the items in the April 2021 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the appointment of Lisa A. Brace, MBA, as Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Office of the Vice President for Finance, effective May 10th, 2021. The action also includes the appointment of 2 newly tenured faculty members, Tanya E. Hartman, MFA, professor in the Department of Art, Art History and Design in the College of Arts and Letters, effective July 15th, 2021, and Karthanengu Namanasvamyum, John and Becky Duffy, endowed professor in the School of Hospitality Business at the Eli Broad College of Business, effective August 16th, 2021. In addition, I present for approval the appointment of Christopher P. Long, PhD, for the additional position of Dean of the Honors College, effective July 1, 2021. The Honors College and the College of Arts and Letters will each retain their own status and identity. Dr. Long will assume leadership responsibility for the Honors College at a time of great momentum for MSU, shortly after the university completes its strategic planning process and as the Office of the Provost embarks upon drafting a campus-wide academic implementation plan. Dean Long's leadership of the Honors College will focus on securing transformational philanthropic gifts for the Honors College, enhancing collaboration and engagement with honors education across the university, and attracting and retaining the highest performing, most diverse, and innovative undergraduates in the world. I'm delighted to have Dr. Long in this additional leadership role and look forward to supporting his vision for the Honors College. Finally, I present for your approval a change in status for Quentin R. Tyler, PhD, from Associate Professor Fixed Term to Associate Professor with Tenure in the Department of Community Sustainability in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, effective May 1, 2021. Also included in your materials are information reports for academic personnel actions.
Thank you, Provost Woodruff. Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
Support.
Support.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Opposed. As to the CFO candidate.
Any abstention? No, the motion carries. Next, we will go to committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Melanie Foster will now present the Committee on Budget and Finance report.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to negotiate and execute a lease for space in the City of Detroit for the purposes of establishing and operating an Apple Developer Academy for a term that may exceed 10 years and upon such other terms and conditions as may be acceptable to the president or his designee. And be it further resolved that the board hereby authorizes the administration to proceed with leasehold improvements and to procure and install equipment, furnishings, and technology for this facility.
Could I have support for the motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Dan Bowman's available to discuss.
Melanie, the motion here is to negotiate and execute.
That's correct.
So I'm assuming this is subject to Brian Quinn's review and in accordance with the terms that were discussed yesterday at the committee meeting.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Any abstention? The motion carries.
The committee also reviewed fiscal year 22 budget recommendations and received updates on the Student Information System and Multicultural Center. This concludes my report.
Trustee Byram will now present the Committee on Academic Affairs report.
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the board hereby approves the amendments to the bylaws for academic governance included as Attachment A, regarding special meetings and representation of the University Committee on Undergraduate Education.
Could I have support for the motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the board hereby approves the amendment to the Student Rights and Responsibilities document to update the definition of student as reflected in Attachment A.
Could I have support for the motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the board hereby approves the naming of the College of Engineering Student Activity Center, the William A. Demmer Engineering Center.
Could I have support for the motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Provost Woodruff is available to discuss this.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Thank you. This concludes my report.
Trustee Dan Kelly will now present the report from the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve the following: an option agreement with Advent Biotherapeutics, Inc., a license agreement with West Central Michigan Horticultural Research, Inc., a service agreement with IASO Therapeutics, Inc., a license agreement with Step for Success, LLC, an option agreement with Red Ox Blocks, Inc., a service agreement with National Pesticide Safety Education Center, and a service agreement with Great Lakes Crystal Technologies, Inc. All of the agreements are consistent with earlier public notice given at prior board meetings. The related term sheets are presented to the board for inclusion in the minutes.
Thank you. Can I have support for the motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? No abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I announce the university's intent to negotiate contracts with Dr. Rosebaugh Dargazani and Nordish LLC, Dr. Mai Yang and Nimble Acoustics, Inc., Dr. Mohammed Rabazins and Polyplastic Technologies, LLC. There's no need for a motion, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Kelly. We will now hear from Trustee Brianna Scott for the Committee on Student Life and Culture.
Thank you, President Stanley. The Committee on Student Life and Culture discussed sensory rooms for the athletic facilities with AD Beekman and Senior Vice President Gore. We also received an update on the Counseling and Mental Health Services Fund. We are pleased to report that the most recent updates to the fund have all been implemented, including the addition of an online fillable form. Additional information regarding the updates can be found by visiting the Our Commitment website. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Scott. We will now move to the chairperson's report and trustee comments. Trustee Diane Byron, chairperson.
Thank you. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, let me begin by acknowledging those individuals who have provided comments during the public participation portion of our meeting. Thank you. Spring is a special time of year, not only because of the warmer temperatures and the budding of the trees and flowers, but it's graduation and a time for celebration. The Board of Trustees Scholarship Awards are granted at each commencement for graduating seniors with a cumulative 4.0 grade point average at the close of the semester prior to graduation. Listed on the screen are the 133 students graduating spring semester 2021 with the highest scholastic average of their graduating class. And as you're reading the names on the screen listed, I want to note that awardees are from the Upper Peninsula towns of Marquette, Munising, Ishpeming, and Newberry, West Michigan up and down the lakeshore, across Southeast Michigan, and in mid-Michigan, including the school I graduated from, Leslie Public Schools. Congratulations to all of our scholarship awardees. Graduation will be celebrated. I agree, President Stanley. Graduation will be celebrated at in-person ceremonies at the individual college level. The president, provost, and trustees plan to be present for many of the ceremonies. I want to say congratulations to all of our graduates. You are Spartans forever. This week, I had the opportunity to attend via Zoom the Black Faculty and Staff Administrators Association, BFSAA, Historical and Emerging Leaders Recognition Reception. I would add that Trustees Kelly Tebe and Brianna Scott, Board Secretary Nakia Barr, President Stanley, and several deans and administrators also attended. It was a wonderful event, and it was enjoyable to learn about the accomplishments of our Black faculty, administrators, and students. Congratulations to the 2020 and 2021 BFSAA Award recipients. I want to say goodbye to Abita as the outgoing ASMSU president. This will be the last board meeting for Abita. I wish you the absolute very best as you embark on your next chapter in life, and ask that you please keep your MSU community informed on where your life's journey takes you. And a warm welcome to incoming ASMSU President Georgia Frost. We look forward to not only getting to know you better, but working with you in the coming year. As I close, I want to provide a few words in tribute to Barbara Sawyer Koch. MSU lost a true Spartan in March with the passing of Barbara Sawyer Koch. Barbara was an MSU trustee from 1979 through 1994. And through an estate commitment by Barbara and her late husband, Dr. Donald Koch, a faculty member in the philosophy department, their legacy and love of MSU continues through a special endowment for MSU libraries, a scholarship fund in the College of Osteopathic Medicine for students committed to serving in rural Michigan, an endowment in the College of Human Medicine to support Alzheimer's disease research, and endowments to support education efforts within the community and to support students. I want to express our heartfelt condolences to the Sawyer Koch family. This concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Kelly, any remarks?
Yes, thank you. First of all, I want to welcome our new CFO. I'm sure it is a welcomed addition to the MSU team. Secondly, with regard to the swim and dive, I just want to say that for me personally, and I think for other board members, we hear you. We've been hearing you loud and clear. From my perspective, it's one of those tough decisions that boards are asked to make. And so I stand by the decision, but I can also say that I am frustrated with how that decision was communicated, and I hope we can do better in the future. Lastly, with regard to the waiver of the attorney-client privilege, I think as many of you know, I am an attorney. I view that privilege as being a very important aspect of receiving good legal advice. I don't view this as just simply a release of documents as if these documents contain secrets or something that would make the board or the university look bad. They've already been determined by an independent judge to be privileged materials and not involving factual disclosures. But having said that, it breaks my heart to hear survivors see it differently. That does upset me. I wish we could do something different. But I do stand by my decision anyway to not waive the attorney-client privilege. And I just hope that we can respectfully disagree on this issue and move forward. Thank you.
Trustee Foster.
Thank you. I'd like to also welcome Lisa Frist to Michigan State University and is our inaugural role of Chief Financial Officer, and look forward to her being here next month and at our next board meeting. I'd also like to send my condolences to the Sawyer Koch family. I had the privilege of serving with Barbara for 2 years on the MSU Board of Trustees. My congratulations to all of our graduates. This is certainly an exciting time, and campus is a bloom. It looks just beautiful, and I'm so excited that we're going to be able to celebrate in person, and I look forward to attending ceremonies. But I hope that sometime in the future, we can do something for the class of 2020 and recognize them, you know, as they should appropriately be recognized. And also congratulations to the 133 Board of Trustee recipients. I think that is probably the highest number ever. And again, one of the greatest things on campus that I enjoy participating in is the celebration of those recipients at a dinner that's usually held. And unfortunately, we're going to be missing that again this year, but it's just so invigorating to hear what their future plans are and, you know, generation will. So thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. So I too want to join my colleagues in welcoming Lisa Frist as our first Chief Financial Officer at Michigan State. All the Board of Trustees were part of that interview process, and I'm really pleased that she is going to be joining us in that role. I want to thank everyone who took time to bring public comments forward this morning, the concerns about students in COVID life, the continued voices from the swimmers, and I will just echo Vice Chair Kelly's comments in terms of the decision for swim and dive. And I also will just say that it has not been handled the way I would have wanted it to be handled. We hear you and we are listening. And I appreciate that you made the time to continue to bring those concerns to us. I also want to turn to the survivors who spoke today And to everyone who has sent in the many emails about the Nassar documents, I hear you, I'm listening, I'm reading everything that is sent in to us. As you all know, I have reviewed the documents. I won't go into detail about that now because I did so at the December 2020 board meeting. And my statement about my reasons for reviewing the documents, why it took me so long, what I found, and my recommendations based on my review is publicly available on the Board of Trustees website as part of the meeting minutes. It's also available on my personal website. I stand by those comments, including my recommendation in that context for an independent review. I'll also say this, when I accepted my appointment to this board in December of 2019, I knew I was joining amidst disagreement about this matter. I'm one of eight. I can't act alone. I don't govern alone in that sense. I agree with the survivors that my review of the documents may not be what some, maybe all, feel that they need in their individual healing. And I agree with the Attorney General that my review is not a replacement for her office's work, but it's what I believe was necessary to fulfill my obligations as a trustee in the context in which I joined this board. And my review of those documents informs the calls for reform I have made and I will continue to pursue. We know that relationship violence and sexual misconduct remain pervasive on this campus, as most recently documented in a 2019 survey. We have a lot of work to do to continue improving the policies and culture to address this. I appreciate that Provost Woodruff is dedicated to these efforts and has been very open to hearing my concerns and working with me on this. And you can expect to hear more in the coming months about these efforts. Thank you.
Trustee O'Keefe, any remarks?
I do. Thank you. I'd like to welcome our new CFO. You've got a big job to do, and we'll look forward as a trustee member and working with you. I also support Dan Kelly's comments on the response to the AG. I know this does not diminish the hurt of the survivors. And I think, though, as fiduciaries, we have a different responsibility that we have fulfilled in our response to the AG. I would also note, relative to Trustee Kanaki Jefferson's comments, that her and Trustee Tebay have certainly been champions of reform in the area of sexual assaults. And as they both stated previously, this work is still not complete and there's still a lot to do, but they are big advocates of making sure this happens more sooner than later. I want to acknowledge Jim Phelan, Dave Havel, Tom Munley, Sean Lambrus, to thank you for your passion for the swimming and diving. You continue to raise a lot of issues. We've had a lot of discussion at this at the board level. You know, I'll just say I've requested, I think we should have a conversation, our president and our athletic director, with the swimming and diving team. I have met privately with AD Beckman to encourage him to meet. And I just, no response to the swimmers, quite frankly, from my perspective, is unacceptable. And it troubles me that as a university, when you can't have a conversation, which I think is all that has been requested so far, and I hope this changes in the near future. Thanks.
Trustee Scott.
Thank you. I would also like to welcome Lisa Frace to MSU. I am looking so forward to meeting you and working with you and for you transforming our crazy financial budget for MSU and the way that we look at things. I think that what you are going to have to offer to us is going to not only be enlightening, but will be transformative, as I've said, and I certainly believe that you are the person for the job. So I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'd also like to extend my condolences to the Sawyer and Cook families. My prayers and thoughts are with you all. I'd like to acknowledge all of the people that have spoken in the public comments, especially the swim and dive members and those that have spoken on their behalf. As has been expressed by Trustee O'Keefe and Kelly, I too am quite frustrated with the way in which this rolled out and the way that the decisions were communicated. I certainly believe that anyone that has made the request, such as those of you that have to us just to be heard, are entitled and should be entitled to have a conversation with A.D. Beekman and to know that we care as trustees. And so I'm certainly advocating for that along with some of my other trustees, and I'm hopeful that that will happen in the near future, as well as recognizing the feats of many of you in the past through that program. I'd also like to congratulate all of our scholarship award recipients and our graduates. I am actually looking forward to attending some of the graduations that are upcoming. I certainly can't do all of them, but we'll look to congratulate you on those that I am able to attend. And I'm wishing all of you the best of luck in your future endeavors. And also to congratulate our 133 scholarship award recipients. That's remarkable. And whenever I see those names, I always think about how hard it is to make that list. I certainly didn't come close. And so the things that you all have been able to achieve, the GPAs that I've seen, it's just remarkable. And I know that the future is great for all of you. So congratulations on that. I'd also like to welcome our incoming ASMSU president, Georgia. I am looking so forward to getting to know you. I have attended quite a few ASMSU meetings, and I look forward to seeing what your leadership brings about in this oncoming year. And I'd like to just extend my thanks and gratitude to Abita, our outgoing ASMSU president. It has been a joy to get to know you, to have worked with you, our conversations that we've had, and your leadership during such a trying time speaks volumes of your capabilities. And I am always going to be here for you. If there's ever anything that I can do, please do not hesitate to reach out. We certainly appreciate all of your time, energy, and talents that you gave to ASMSU over the last year. I'd also like to just quickly respond to the comments that were made by, I believe it was Erica Thibodeau, who especially had messages for me. I would like to indicate that, yes, it is true that at some point in time, there was an independent investigation company that I did not agree with. The reasons being that the person as the lead attorney had given an award, a Halloween award of first place to someone that was in blackface. I thought that was completely inappropriate. I thought it showed signs of prejudice and racism, and I certainly was not going to advocate for a company that had someone like that as a lead to do our independent investigation. And if anyone has a problem with that, you are entitled to your opinion. As an African-American woman, I stand by my reasoning for that. As it relates to the actual determinations of going with another company, I had stated, and I have continued to state and been consistent with that, that it made no sense, in my opinion, to do an independent investigation if the 6,000 plus privileged documents were not to be released. I believe it would have been an exercise in futility, as they say, and certainly not a positive as my responsibilities as a fiduciary for MSU are concerned to expend money on something that I think would not have achieved the purposes for which it would have gone out. In addition to the comments made about some pocketing that I've done, all I've done in Muskegon is to try to level a playing field in my community wherein there is not one person that looks like me or a person of color, let alone a woman in downtown Muskegon that owns any of the new businesses or properties. If anyone has a problem with the fact that I have decided as an African-American woman to try to bring hope to Muskegon and to try to provide a sense of place where everyone will feel included when that's an issue in the community in which I live, and to seek out the expertise of someone who was a former board member who has a track record and a history and the ability to assist me, then that's your problem. And I think that you think very shallow because there are more things than just my role as an MSU trustee that are important to me. I'm also an individual. I'm also a community member in Muskegon, Michigan, and I will not ever apologize for wanting to make my community more inclusive and to show the power of diversity, equity, and inclusion in that community. And the fact that I've had so much support from not just minorities in my community, but others in my quest to provide a place as I'm doing shows that it is welcomed and appreciated. And I will continue to do what I can in my community without apology to anyone. As it relates to the issue that I absolutely have the power to thwart anything as one trustee, I think it was Trustee Kanaki that indicated correctly that we are just one person. One person on this board does not make all of the decisions. We are a group of eight, and collectively decisions are made amongst eight. There is not one person that can make anything happen, although it appears that people think I have way more power than I do. That is certainly not the case. And I will stand by the decisions that I've made as I feel that those decisions have been made with the right motivations, never once looking to what anyone else thought I should do, but doing what I felt was right. And so I will stand by those decisions that I've made. And certainly if you have an issue or want to discuss the narrative that continues to be pushed concerning the fact that it's all on me that the independent investigation did not occur, I would welcome you, Erica, or anyone else to contact me at scottbree@msu.edu. And I'd be happy to have a conversation with you about why I've made the decisions that I did so that we can discontinue with the narrative that misrepresents everything that went into that decision. And that concludes my comments.
You, Trustee Tebe, any remarks?
Yes, thank you. I just want to start by thanking our student liaisons who came to us this week and addressed some of the issues that students wanted to bring to us on campus. They talked about a potential tuition increase and their concerns around that if that were to be a decision. They also expressed the concern about raising housing and dining rates and just wanting to know that their opinions and the students' opinions have been heard. And we appreciate you providing input for our decision-making. They also brought up commencement, which President Stanley has already assured that we will be having our outdoor socially distanced commencement. Please wear your mask, bring your mask, and maybe an umbrella if it's going to rain. But don't forget your mask. So you won't be let in if you don't have a mask. So please bring your mask. And then also they talked very eloquently about some of the concerns that students and faculty and staff are having on campus with all the things that are going on in our country, in our world, and the fear and exhaustion that many are facing, and brought up very pointedly the importance of having mental health advocates on campus, especially as we open into the fall. To making sure that students are supported as they transition back to in-person learning. I know there's a lot of different factors going into what people are facing right now with their families, and just know that we hear you. And I do believe that it is extremely important and think it should be something that the university focuses on in the fall, and making sure that our students have all the support that they need, as well as our faculty and staff. They have also been experiencing a lot. I also would like to echo my colleagues that talked about the swim and dive team. We appreciate all of your emails and your very thoughtful presentations to us, and agree that I believe you should be heard and that there should be a place that you can express and have a conversation about the decision that was made and why the decision was made. And I think that's important for you all to hear from the administration as to how this decision was made. And also would like to address the survivors, just to express that I am always on your side. And again, as Trustee Kanaki said, we are one of eight and my positions haven't changed. And so I want you to know that I am on your side, but I'm not a dictator and I don't make the decisions on my own. And they're certainly not easy things for me to experience. So I would appreciate if you understand that I am fighting for you and I am trying, and I appreciate Trustee O'Keefe
talking about the fact that we are working on these things and making sure that it never happens again. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah.
Secretary Barr, I missed a comment that I wanted to make. Can I go out of order and just acknowledge the Black faculty, staff, and administrators? I, as Trustee Byron had indicated, also attended along with, I think she said it was Trustee Tebay. And I wanted to just state that it was a remarkable experience for me to be amongst over 100 Black faculty, staff, and administrators in acknowledging the great feats, accomplishments, and the pursuits, the life-changing things that they've been able to do on MSU's campus. I certainly am a recipient of some of them, and I just wanted to congratulate those that received awards during that celebration. So I apologize, but I did forget to say that. Thank you.
Trustee Vassar, any remarks?
Just want to acknowledge the pain that Trustee Tebay is experiencing, and I apologize that you have to relive this over and over again with the survivors. So I want to thank Ms. Benergy for her accessible presentation. I did understand some of it, and I applaud your willingness to share your hard work with us in this space. It's a challenge, and so I appreciate your courage. And welcome, as everyone else has said, that I welcome CFO Lisa Frace and the Dean of Honors College, Dr. Long. I'm looking forward to some changes in the diversity in that college. And so I'm looking forward to his tenure. And I appreciate the resilience and tenacity of the survivors communities. I remain steadfast as Trustee Tebay has also signaled in my stated positions. They have not changed. And I also want to thank the Swim and Dive team and parents and community for your passion and your persistence and your rich history in academic performance. I'm looking forward to listening more with you all as well. And I want to congratulate the 9 2021 International Awards recipients. Thank you for your contributions to international research, to teaching, and to outreach. And I want to thank the chair of the University Steering Committee and Faculty Senate, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, for lifting the recent killing of another Black American, Dante Wright, at the hands of those who are called to protect him, and raising the anguish of the Asian American community and how those students are feeling on our campus. She facilitated a robust conversation with the student liaisons regarding the wellness of current MSU students and talked about how faculty are feeling at this moment. And we have some challenges to overcome, you know, expanding caps and thinking about ways that we support folks who are in consistent PTSD and trauma is really important. I'm sure we'll overcome this. Spartans will. We always do. We just need to dig in. And then finally, congratulations to all Spartan graduates. I look forward to seeing folks in person in the fall, and have a fabulous Friday and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. That concludes trustee comments.
Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Don't move.
Thank you. Support?
Support. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? The meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.